Okay, let's get started.
Wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode number 7 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, the Emperor of Exposure, Shelton Muller.
I was wondering what it was going to be this week, Bruce.
How are you, mate?
I'm very well. You realise there will come a time when you'll run out of these alliterative descriptions of yours.
Oh, dear.
But I'm enjoying them in the meantime.
That's good. How have you been?
Very, very well. I had a really interesting day today. I got a call from Radio 3AW in Melbourne,
yep.
And they asked me to if I would do an on-air Q&A and talk about digital photography. They gave me about an hour to prepare, so I did that. And what really surprised them was the level of interest in digital photography, because after a brief discussion with Dennis Walters, who interviewed me, there was a Q&A offered to everybody, a chance to call in, and the phones went off their nut, apparently.
Wow.
So it was really good. I answered as many questions as I could in the few minutes that I had.
Yep.
But I was told that they're interested in doing some more. So if you if you're out there listening and you think it's a subject worthy of more airtime, give 3AW a call for me and say, that Shelton guy, he was really great. Get him back.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. Well, mate, I've had a great week.
I know.
As you know, yes. For those who've followed Shutters Inc. from the start, you would be well aware that I've been lusting after a Konica Minolta 7D, and I'm happy to say that I found a really good bargain through the week, and I went and got one. And absolutely loving it.
Oh, it's a fabulous camera. It's an absolutely fabulous camera.
Mm.
Now, Bruce, are you going to tell everybody where they can see a couple of your pictures?
If you go to the Shutters Inc. page on audio2.com, I will put up a link to a page where I'll put a few photos of the stuff I've been taking with the 7D, so people can check out what I've been doing.
He's pretty good, folks. He's pretty good. It puts me off, actually. I'm thinking maybe you should be doing all these interviews, mate. You should be the one making all these hints and tips.
No,
you're pretty good.
Thank you.
Have a look, everybody. He's doing a good job.
Oh, thank you. All right, so what are we going to talk about this week?
We have been bagging Flash, haven't we, the last few episodes
we have.
Of Happy Snaps and Shutters Inc. You know, as if we should just take them out and throw them out. But that's not true at all. I suppose I thought that what I'd do this week is just put a balance on all of that.
Sure.
Not against Flash, not against it.
No, it has its time and its place.
And if used properly, it's fabulous. The problem is that most people just don't use it properly.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that.
Sure.
Photography is a word that's derived from two Greek words that mean to write with light. And I suppose if that is the case, then the Flash can be our pencil, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little portable pocket light device, and we can point it anywhere we like, make it as strong as we like or as weak as we like, and we can enhance our photographs with it. That's what we often forget. Sometimes we think that the flash has either got to be the all or the nothing, but it can actually be used to supplement the light that we're using, or it can be directed in such a way to make it look more natural. And that's what we really should try to do if we're using flash. The problem with flash is that it is an obviously artificial and harsh light source that we don't see naturally appearing, and so it always makes our photographs look false, fake, incorrect.
A bit cold,
you know, and hard, and it need not be the case. So we've got to start thinking about flash in an interesting way, and most of us would probably know that you can bounce your flash. In other words,
yep.
If you buy a flash which has a swivel and bounce head, you can flip it up and you can point the light at a ceiling. Now make sure that the ceiling is white, and you can make the flash travel up towards the ceiling, diffuse and bounce back off the ceiling and sort of envelop the room and envelop the subject a little bit more.
Yeah.
That is the first place we should go if we possibly can, to make our flash, one, less directional, and two, more natural in appearance. When you stand in a room, most of the light you see is coming downwards from overhead lights.
Yeah.
So immediately, the moment we light our photo with a bounce flash, we are making it look a little more natural, a little more along the lines of what we're used to seeing. If you can do that, that's a good thing to do.
I think one point I would like to raise with bouncing the flash off the ceiling is remember to watch your guide numbers and calculate the distance from your flash up to the ceiling and back down to your subject.
Make sure that your flash has got the guts to handle that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's for sure. I mean, in most 8 or 9 foot ceiling rooms, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you're in a big room, of course, no, it's probably not going to be possible. But absolutely, it's a very good point. You can always, of course, upgrade the ISO, which naturally makes the flash a little more powerful. But if you're purchasing a flash for your SLR, try and make it the most powerful one you can afford. You can always cut the power down, but you can't add it if it ain't there.
That's right.
So, and bounce flash will be a good place to go. Now, we always think of bouncing off the ceiling, but you can also bounce your light off walls.
Yeah.
You can stand next to a fridge, a white fridge, and you can bounce it off that.
Yep.
You can get someone standing there with a big bit of white board, and you can bounce it off that. Do whatever you can to direct the light sideways or upwards so that it appears more naturally in your photographs. The exposure, as you say, is a concern sometimes. Most digital SLRs, well, all digital SLRs really, will have the capacity to do that TTL if you buy a dedicated flash. Just make sure, of course, that, yeah, you're not asking more of it than it can do, that your subject isn't so far away that it won't light it up, and that your room isn't so big that the flash won't travel up and back or to the wall and back without properly illuminating your subject. Remember, too, if you are doing this manually, if you're working with perhaps an older camera, a film-based camera, that the wall or the ceiling will probably absorb a little bit of exposure. So open up your aperture one or two stops if you're doing, say, a manual calculation based on your guide number, just to make sure that your subject gets enough light. And of course, remember, you can only do this in fairly confined circumstances. But if you can, by all means, do that as best you can. The other thing that you can do, which is a very handy little thing for flash, is to buy a second flash which has a slave sensor attached to it. This is a sensor that would see your flash fire and automatically synchronize and fire itself, so that you can use a two-light system. You can maybe use your flash on camera to bounce off the ceiling or off the wall, and then you can use another flash in the background to add a little bit of a rim light, to perhaps light the room, you know, further behind. There's all sorts of techniques that you can use with a slaved second flash. Nikon, in fact, and I know that it's not just common to Nikon alone, I'm sure there are other systems, but I better make sure how they work. But I know, being familiar with the Nikon system, they have what's called the ITTL system, whereby if you buy these dedicated Nikon speed lights, the camera actually controls the exposure wirelessly through all of the flashes that you buy. So you can set up 2-3 flashes, and the camera will control the output of the flashes.
Yep.
You know, wirelessly through the technology. Isn't that just fabulous?
Yep, absolutely.
And just ideal for photographing functions, photographing weddings, doing, you know, location work where you don't want to be lugging around a lot of lights, but you still need a fair bit of, you know, flash to travel, you know, or to illuminate in different ways. Give that a try if you possibly can. I suppose what we're really saying is, be clever about how you use flash. Don't just put it on your camera, point it at the subject and hope for the best, because that is the worst way that you can use flash.
Yep. Do you know what? Years ago, when I was still in the analog world, I made a little reflector for my Minolta flash unit. My Minolta flash unit was a swivel, tilt, you know, bounce, rotate type flash unit.
Yes.
And I got a piece of white cardboard, and I cut it and I formed it into like a quarter of a sphere, if that makes sense, and just used a lackey band to attach it to the top of the flash head, so that the flash head pointed into this sort of quarter of a sphere type thing, and I could then use that to bounce into the white card and then bounce out again.
And it would be made an incredible difference.
Yeah, it was huge. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Used it heaps.
It's simple, because you have an understanding of light, obviously, that you know how to do this, and it really is just as simple as that. You can make these, you can do the most incredible things with a piece of A4 photocopy paper if you really want to. I mean, it's just a matter of being innovative and understanding how the light needs to be softened. It needs to be rounded. It needs to go around the subject, not just straight into the subject. It needs to be diffused. Look, analyze how natural light works, what affects natural light, why natural light can be directional, why it can be diffused, how it affects your subject. And if you can simulate that with flash, because there are going to be times when you have to. You haven't got a lot of option. find ways to do that. Some of the most inventive photographers have got out a white hanky and stuck it over their flash. They've used all sorts of means to soften it. Another thing that you can do, most cameras these days have off-camera cords that you can synchronize, even TTL, with your camera and still connect the flash. So why not hold the flash away from the camera for, you know, a meter, or get someone else to hold it off to the side, usually connected with a cord that connects through the camera's meter, so you don't have to do a lot of calculations, and just have the flash off camera is a good idea.
Absolutely.
Think of clever ways to use your flash that do not involve it sitting on the hot shoe and pointing straight down the barrel of the lens.
Getting the flash off the camera is almost 100% guaranteed for getting rid of red eye too.
Yes, absolutely. Normally you don't have a huge problem with red eye on an SLR camera with a, say, a flash mounted on a hot shoe, because there's usually enough space difference to avoid being straight down the axis of the lens.
Yeah.
But it still appears every now and again. You're absolutely right. And it also just gives a little bit more dimension to your lighting. The moment you take a camera, or a flash rather, off to the side, you are going to be adding shadow to one side of your subject. If your flash is off to the left, then the shadow will be onto your right, and vice versa. Now, that naturally provides some dimension and shape. It adds the third dimension to what would otherwise have been just a two-dimensional picture. And that's the thing that is so bad about frontal flash, is that what we're trying to do is create an idea of three dimensions in a two-dimensional medium. Whereas if you take the flash off the camera, create some shadow and some form because of the way the flash is illuminating the subject, you're immediately going to make it a little bit more appealing, even if you haven't been able to diffuse it or soften it or whatever, just by taking it away from the camera and creating some form of shadow on one side, you know, or of your subject.
Yep, and if I could just throw in one more trick that I've learned over the years.
See, I told you should be doing those things.
Which this is kind of the reverse of what you were just saying. If you find that you have to photograph someone beside a wall, and you do have an off-camera cable, what I've found is, let's say as you look through the viewfinder, the wall's on the right and your subject is in the middle. If you can get the flash off to the left and aim it at the left side of the subject, you will also get some bounce off the wall back to the right-hand side of the subject. Which can just kind of balance the light in a creative way.
Off a little more. You still get shadow, but it's nice and soft, and you get the detail there as well. I said, really, I suppose what we're saying, Bruce, is be smart about your flash, and think of how to use it a little bit more.
And in this age of digital photography and reusable memory cards, just experiment.
Get a friend in a room and go nuts, because the flash can be your worst enemy and it can be your best friend. And
absolutely.
That is all dependent on whether you know how to use it. So make sure that if you possibly can, you buy the brand dedicated flash.
Yeah.
I say that, I don't normally say that, but in this particular case, I would certainly suggest it, because they're made to talk to each other better than, say, you know, another name brand flash would do. If you can, buy some softening accessories, like a diffuser. Sometimes they come with bounce cards built in sometimes. If you can, you know, buy an off-camera lead, or you want to go all out, buy a TTL system that incorporates two or three flashes, that like the Nikon iTTL system, and just go nuts. Learn the flash. We've been bagging it, and I shouldn't really, because it's a fabulous tool if we know how to use it properly.
Absolutely. All right, Shelton, thank you for all of that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And we'll talk with you next week.
I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to further adjectives and descriptions of who I am. Of course, you know. So it's going to be put to the test. Just pick a letter, any letter, next week. Let's see what you come up with.
Now, would I be right in assuming that next week will be the last one before you go to China?
That would be, yes, you're absolutely right.
Wow.
And, so I'm probably going to be tired a little from getting everything ready at the last minute and all that, but I'll be very excited at the same time.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking lots about your trip to China next week then.
I'll try and keep it to a low roar, okay?
No worries. We'll talk to you then.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Bruce. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.
See ya.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audio2u.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control-D to bookmark.
Audio2u.com.